Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out in the homebrew meeting, and we have a wonderful surprise tonight. Tonight we have Brother Freddie Everett, a dear, dear friend of mine, a brother from another mother. Brother Freddie and I, we go up to Craven Detention Center and share with the prisoners up there, and we travel around from church to church, and I would say Brother Freddie probably, without a doubt, is my dearest brother in Eastern North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I can't think of another friend, other than my wife, that I love more than Brother Freddie. And he's very special to me, and I love him a lot. And it's a pleasure and an honor to have him come and speak at the homebrew meeting tonight. And I just know you're going to enjoy it. So without further ado, I give you Brother Freddie Everett, the pastor, just a special friend. And so Brother Freddie, please, share as you go, Lord, how you do.
Thank you, Brother David, for allowing me this opportunity just to share what the Lord has placed in my heart with this home group meeting. As Brother David said, I don't know anybody other than Sister Carolyn here that's more dear to my heart.
Amen.
We share a bond in ministry, and it started from the first time we came to Little Zion Church. And you know, it's so amazing when you have biological brothers.
Yes.
But then God brings somebody in your life.
Yeah.
That you bond with them, even a deeper bond than with your biological brothers. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happened, that the Lord has allowed to happen between me and Brother David and Sister Karen. I can't say that I have never seen a more excellent fitting couple.
Mm-hmm.
That God just really, the love of the Lord reflects in both of their lives and how they open their heart and their homes to the believers of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, the song that was sung, it has been on my heart and been in my mind all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, I hope that this is the song we sing tonight. Change my heart, oh Lord.
Amen.
Have you really ever really thought about what it takes for you to totally submit yourself to the Lord
and
for Him to change your heart?
Hmm. That's good.
And one of the greatest reflections that I can see of that is coming from Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11. And I really want you to think about something here. As the 3rd chapter of Matthew closes out, it says that after John baptized Jesus and Jesus came out of the water, that the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Biblical account says that a dove ascended from heaven and landed on his shoulder, and the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." But I want you to think about something. Is God well pleased with your life?
Hmm.
Have you ever really given a real deep thought?
Well,
is God well pleased with your life? Then here's the question I want to ask. If God was so well pleased with Jesus' life, why did He have the Holy Spirit to force Him into the desert, into a desolate place, an uncultivated land, a dry area with no opportunity for water, vegetation, food, or nothing? After declaring,
amen,
"This is my beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased."
Wow.
Does that really sound like a father that really loves you, and then he would drag you out into a desert. And I want you to think about something here. And it was for a 40-day long period.
Yep.
And pretty much, that is the longest a human body can go without food or water before the vital organs begin to break down. You become delirious. You're just about on the point of death. And then can you imagine a father that loved you so much, so unconditionally, would do that to you?
Yes.
And then I want you to really think about something. The father had to love him enough that 30 years had passed in his life. And think about what he had become in those 30 years. Really don't, none of us really know, because it's not a whole lot written about it. But we know that he became a master carpenter because he had to feed and take care of the family because his father had died. But the thing is, now it's time for him to go about doing the father's business.
Amen.
So now, the father must reprogram him from what he has become in 30 years to what he needs for him to be for the next 3 years and 4 months. So, the Holy Spirit carries him into a desert place. There's nobody to talk to. There's nothing. Can you imagine God carrying you into a place of nothingness? Into a dry desert place. But you know what? God needed his son to be able to clearly hear his voice.
Yes. Well, that's good.
Have you ever been able to clearly hear God's voice? Sister Gay, she mentioned something here earlier. Does the Lord ever vocally speak anymore through anybody? But God needed his son to be able to clearly hear his voice. So, if you look in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, it says that, what? God crushed him.
Amen.
Can you imagine? If we take a stone and we crush it, eventually it breaks down and turns to powder.
Yes.
But can you imagine being crushed by God? Why would God crush his son?
Amen.
Because he had to put the sin of the whole entire world upon him. So he had to resist him in everything. Have we ever really allowed God to reduce us to nothing? I want you to really think about it. Gabe said, Lord, I need you to change my heart. For your heart to be changed, you've got to submit to God that he will crush you to nothing.
Yes.
And if you notice what it says, that after the 40 days and the 40 nights, that Satan approached you.
Yep.
Out of delirious state, extremely hungry, thirsty, and then Satan approached you. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Can you imagine being challenged by the prophet saying that you would be the bread of life, and then you would be challenged to turn stones into bread? The prophetic word says that he would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means land of bread.
Yes.
But the first thing he was challenged by, turning something into bread. Why does Satan always address us about who we really are and try to get us to deny who we really are? As a Christian, does your, or a believer, I would say a believer, do your life really reflect what the Word says of a believer? I don't know what Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, but he was in a man's suit. So for 30 years, I don't know what he was doing. But I do know that God had to crush him to get him on his agenda. So what the next thing Satan did? He carried him up at the very top point of the temple.
Yeah.
And he said, all right, he's the Son of God. And, you know, jump off. In other words, say that his angels will catch you and keep you from getting around. And what did Jesus say? What did he
say? It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Do you ever tempt God?
Amen.
You know, how many times do we get down to pray and we ask God for, Lord, if you will do this for me, then I will do that for you. Why would you tempt God or try to challenge him to do something for you when he's God Almighty? And if you notice, every time that Satan challenged Jesus, Jesus gave him the word.
Yes, that's right.
He gave him the word. And then the last time he challenged him, he took him up into the highest point of the mountain where he could see all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, if you bow down and worship me, I give it all to you. Can you imagine being silly enough to ask Jesus what was his from the beginning?
Yes. Amen.
To bow down and worship and all this you have. Now, Gabe, a question or something was asked earlier. In James 4 and 7, James really looked at the life of Jesus. And if you notice what he says in James 4 and 7, if you repent the devil, he will flee from you.
That's right.
Well, after Jesus resisted Satan, he finally said, you know what, give him up on this dude.
Yep.
Because he got the word inside.
Amen.
You will never be able to challenge Satan if you don't have the word inside.
Amen. That's right.
And the next thing is, I don't care how much you can quote it, if you don't believe it,
yes,
it's to no avail to you.
Amen. That's right.
But then, if you notice, why the number 40? Why not 50 days? Why not 60 days? But why 40 days? Because the number 40 in biblical numbers is a probationary period. Did Jesus pass probation? If God put his own son on probation, what do you think? What you think he's going to do to you?
That's
right. Do you think you're any different than his son? That you merit more brownie points than his son?
Yeah.
But he put his son on a probationary period, and during that period of time, he crushed him from everything that he had ever been to what he needed him to be for the next 3 years and 4 months. And that was to do the will of the Father.
Yes.
God will never be able to use you if he cannot crush you.
Amen.
If you don't submit to being crushed by God, he'll never be able to use you. I don't care how much you try to preach. I don't care how much you try to do whatever. But it will never be to no avail if you don't allow God to crush you.
Right.
One of the
Amen. That's good.
I remember stepping into the Zion Church, and it seems as though my ministry had came to a standstill. I was trying to make a decision between prison ministry and going out and starting a church, and just at the standstill of a whole lot of things. And then one day I asked God to change my heart.
Amen.
And to crush me so I could be what he wanted me to be. Not realizing that the crushing process had already started.
Amen.
You know, I want to just tell a little bit about my former life. Some of the things that I have to deal with it does it. One, it's all pride.
Yes.
And another, our attitude. And another, it's all arrogance.
Yes. Yes.
I was probably one of the most arrogant people for a very long time. Very proud. And why, living a life in the world, God shows, start crushing me here. I didn't even realize it. Had 29. Had anything I wanted. And then, one day, I found myself standing on the corner that we sold drugs on. Say, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Wow.
I don't even know what happened. And then when I realized what I was saying, everybody had cleared the corner. So I left. I went home. I never returned for about a week or more, trying to really realize what was going on in my heart. But the word says that you can never come to God and let the Spirit first join.
Yes, yes.
Not realizing that the Spirit was dealing with my inner man, my heart. And when I did go back out onto the corner, the guys sang, they said, hold it, hold it, hold it. If you're going to start preaching, but then, I just want to speak from my heart.
Amen.
God began to deal with me. I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't rest. I wanted to be alone, not around nobody. It was in those silent times, in those desolate times,
yes,
in those hurting time when I couldn't find a friend over. And then all of a sudden, started going to jail, getting arrested. I looked up 3 months later, all the hundreds of thousands of dollars were gone. I had no deals. I was walking. I didn't even have a place to stay. Because basically they had took everything. And I said, God, you know, what are you doing? Not realizing that he was crushing me.
Yes. Amen.
And I came from arrogance to be an uncle. Because the very person that I had cursed out and told him I would never work for him again, I found myself having to go back and ask him for a job.
Mm. Wow.
And here's for God too. After I went back to work, they come with 9 more charges that I knew nothing about. And they put me back in jail. And he went and bailed me out.
Yes.
I went to court. And the judge upped my bond from $13,000 to $50,000 and said he had no business being in the street. He stepped up and he said, you know, Your Honor, I know he made mistakes, but he worked for me a long time. I give him his job back. He's back working for me. He's a productive man. He made mistakes.
Right.
The judge said, you better be glad you bought into the corporation.
Because
you would be right back over there with $50,000
here.
Still not realizing that God was slowly crushing me.
Yes.
Have you ever really thought how it feels from going high on the mountain to nothing? To absolutely nothing. I was making good money. But between bills and fines with the court system, I couldn't even hardly buy a drink at the end of the week.
Yeah. Wow.
And then I wound up with 5 years probation. And that was the time that my life really changed. I never understood what probation was until that time. Because you got to do and don't suffer. I had always been a person that had always done like I wanted to do. Even from the time I was a young kid, I pretty much had free reign. And then all of a sudden, at 38 years old, my whole life turned upside down. You know, God really blessed me, and I didn't even realize it, because I was given a 4-year sentence. But they commuted it for 5 years of probation. And if I would have had to done this sentence, it's so amazing that Brother David here in me tell us at prison ministry, April of this year, I would have just got free. Because I would have had to done a mandatory 24 years.
Wow.
I would have just walked free. But in the process, God crushed me.
Yes. Wow.
Have you really submitted to God?
Amen.
For Him to crush you. And I want you to think about something. If God crushed His Son,
yes,
and the reason was He loved Him so much that He knew He had to crush Him, that He would be able to go on that cross for me, for you, for Gay, for Brother, Sister Karen. Do we realize that God needs to crush us?
Yes.
Because we need to go on a cross with somebody else.
Yes. That's good. Amen.
It says, the greater love hath no man than the one that will lay down his life for his friend. You notice Jesus didn't call his disciples my brother for nothing.
Yes.
He called him his friend.
Yes. Amen.
Have you allowed God to crush you enough that you would be able to give up everything you've got that somebody else could be able to walk into the kingdom? I want you to think about something tonight. The young rich ruler, when Jesus told him to come follow him, the young rich ruler began to tell him, I've kept all the Ten Commandments. I've kept all of them.
Yeah.
From the time of my youth. Then the challenge came. The crushing point came when he told him to go sell everything you got and give to the poor and come back and follow me. He couldn't stand that.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine? You've done walked by the Ten Commandments to the total of two.
Yes.
But then, you can't love your brother or your sister or the poor enough that you would give away everything. Have you ever thought why Jesus never had a home? That poor father, you never had a home? Can you imagine God crushing you to the point that you trusted Him enough that when night comes, somebody will open the door again? Have you ever been a kid before? We got to make sure that we have all the luxuries of life to make us happy. And we stand and we teach and we preach. But really, have we allowed God to crush us enough?
That's right.
And love our fellow man enough that we will be willing to give you.
Yes. Jesus had to trust the Father enough when he was in the wilderness, when he had nothing, when he was desolate, when he was hungry. He had to trust God enough that he would provide and keep them alive.
Amen. That's right.
Do we really trust God enough that he'll keep us alive? Mm. He'll keep us unharmed. He'll keep us unhurt. Won't you think about one other person and then I'm going to close out. Saul, when he was on his way to Damascus to kill the believers, because they weren't called Christians yet, they were called believers. And he was on his way to Damascus to kill them. Because, now I want you to think about something. There was a man that knew the Lord more perfectly than anybody. He had one of the greatest instructors of that day, Gamaliel. But he didn't believe in this new thing called belief of the Pharisees.
Yes.
And you know the Pharisees and the scribes, they knew the Lord. They always twisted for their own good. And so evidently Saul had twisted when he believed that he had to kill believers.
Yes.
So if you notice what happened, he was encountered by Jesus. He said, "Saul, why do you kill me?" And then he was knocked off the horse or the donkey or whatever he was on. And then he became blind. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, you were one of the most powerful men. You could go to the Sanhedrin court and get a decree, go anywhere you wanted to do, and do whatever you wanted to do. And all of a sudden, here you are, blinded by God, and you got to trust Him for your very life. Can you imagine to be led? See, the whole thing is, we as Christians, we never want to be led.
Amen.
We always want to lead.
That's right.
But we never want to be led by God.
Amen.
And if you look, all of a sudden, he had to be led by the hand.
Yes. Yes.
And where did they take him? To the believer's house.
Yes.
And what did we all know? You ain't going to convince me.
Yeah.
That Saul's praying. I know he's a devil.
Yeah.
But see, what he failed to realize is God has done first.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
God had done changed Saul's agenda. The whole thing is, do we ever really want to give up our agenda?
Yeah. No.
And allow God's agenda to work in our life? Do we ever really want to give up? And if you notice what happened. And I often wonder why that Saul had such a deeper relationship or such a better understanding or whatever. And it comes to me that all of a sudden he realized that he was no longer who he was.
Yeah.
That he had to be led by God.
Yeah.
See, when we can ever come to the reality of that we're not who we think we are, but we are sons and daughters.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, a son and a daughter are do the will of the Father.
Yeah. That's right.
Are we truly sons and daughters?
Amen.
Or is our agenda more important?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, Saul had surrendered,
yes,
to the agenda of God and the Son. That the Father crushed his son to the point that even though he was God and a man, but see, it's the human man aspect that the Father always got to deal with in our life.
Yes.
It's that flesh man that he always has to deal with. That's why the scripture says our minds must be changed.
Amen.
For it to ever be a heart change,
yes,
first the change has got to come here.
Yes. Yes.
And if you notice, that the Father crushed the Son,
Why do you think you're going to get away?
Amen. That's right. It's good.
If you will ever truly do the will of the Father, then change my heart, Lord.
Amen.
Make my heart true. If you know it. It says, make my heart ever true.
Yes.
And if your heart is ever true, then you will always do the will of God.
Amen. That's right.
And then you notice what else it says the next thing. Change my heart, O Lord. May I be like you.
Yes. Wow. Wow.
Are you really like the Father?
Amen.
Are you really like the Father? Are you really like the Father? Are you really like the Father? He says, what the next one says, you are the Father.
Yeah.
And if you notice something that the Father does, when he's turning that pot, and as he worked with it, it's only when that pot gets that noise and it starts to willful, that he knows that the pot's ready.
Yeah.
But then you know it's ready for him. It's ready for the fire.
That's it.
And then, it's only after the fire finished with it, then it's ready for you.
Yes. Amen.
Have you allowed the fire of God,
yes,
to remove everything in you that's not like Him? If you remember Ezekiel in the sixth chapter, I want you to think about something. Had Ezekiel allowed God to crush you? Ezekiel was a prophet.
Yeah.
Speaking the word of the Lord. And if you notice, he said, I'm a man, unclean lips.
Yeah.
I say any and everything up under the sun, that's basically what unclean lips is.
Yeah.
And I dwell among unclean people that say any and everything.
Yes.
But then if you notice, when the fire purged him.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
It was the fire of God that purged him. And if you notice then, it was only then that Ezekiel said, Lord, our God sent me.
Yeah.
See, so many times, we done went and God had a sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Can you imagine you a prophet? And then God didn't see you. Because if you had an unclean mouth, then you had an unclean heart.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
He had a heart that really hadn't been crushed by God.
Yes, that's right.
So if you notice, the process in the beginning of the New Testament is to be totally crushed by God.
Yeah.
And then, it was only then that Jesus began his ministry.
Yes, that's right.
Can you imagine God's Son being here on earth for 30 years? And then it was only when the Father crushed him, reduced him to nothing.
Yes.
And see, it's only at nothing is when you're really ready for God to use you.
Amen.
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 I never forget one of the most awesome words I ever heard from any man. And that was Nelson Mandela.
Amen.
He spent 29 years in total isolation on Robben's Island. He said 16 years he spent hating the South African government for what they done to him. He said, but then, one day, God began to deal with him.
Yes.
He said, and he repented. And for the next amount of years after that, he said he spent learning to love all mankind.
Wow.
Lord
Jesus. Can you imagine? 12 years. 12 years of silence. 12 years of nothingness. 12 years of being alone for him to learn to love all mankind. And we think it can happen because we go to the altar and repent. And that's God to save us.
Yeah.
And then we're ready to start preaching.
Yeah. That's right.
No such a
thing. Amen.
Because see, for you to be effective.
Yeah.
And I ain't talking about talking deeply into joining church.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about John 3:16, because salvation is much more than John 3:16.
Amen. That's right. That's good.
See, it's love, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yes. That's the kingdom of God. Amen.
Do you really love your brother? Love your sister?
Yes.
Do you really have joy? The joy bubble up in your heart when you see Brother David, when you see Sister Karen, when you see Sister Gay, when you see Sister Carol and Sister Brennan.
Yeah.
The joy just bubble up in your heart.
Amen.
Because you know what? Sister Gay, I love you because I know you're a kingdom citizen.
Yeah.
Joy just bubble up in your heart. Happiness.
Amen.
And you know what? Are you in pure peace?
Yes.
When you come together with God's people.
Amen. Amen.
I remember this song says, I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Mm-hmm. Do you feel a thrill when you come to a homework meeting? Are you just excited? Because you know what? You're coming together with a group of people that's going through the same thing you're going through.
Amen.
They're being crushed by God. Their hurts should be your hurts. Their woes should be your woes.
Yes.
But do we really submit ourselves to love to our brothers and sisters?
Amen.
That we would have those feelings towards you. If God loved us so unconditionally that He would allow His Son to be crushed,
amen,
to be spilled, to be hurt. And you know what? If you know what Isaiah said, Jesus' appearance was one man and then one other time. So it tells me he had the other.
Yeah.
But you know how we are about other people, we only want to look. Come on, let's be real.
Amen.
So the thing was, God put everything on Him.
Yes.
And then John says, in closing out, beloved, for we are the children of God.
Amen.
And we have not yet appeared what we shall be. Where is our appearance problem? Because we won't submit to the crushing of God.
Amen.
We won't submit to not my will, but Father, your will be done. If you remember when Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane,
amen,
he began to ask the Lord to remove the cup from it. And one passage of scripture says that he sweat his blood.
Yes.
Can you imagine? Knowing that you're fixing to die, you're fixing to be swept to the point that even your mother couldn't recognize you.
Yes.
And then you're fixing to be put on a T-shaped cross and the suffering for all the sins of mankind. If you go back to the Old Testament, if you remember the old altar, it's symbolized what would happen to Jesus.
Amen.
The old altar had 7 points on it.
Yeah.
4 was for the tribes of Israel. Then it was the showbread in the manna. And then Aaron was robbed and bloody for some different points. And what happened? Jesus had 7 leading points,
yeah,
from his life. 7, the number of completion.
Amen.
When you see it to being crushed by God, so He can do a completed work in your life, and you can do what He's called you to do in ministry. And it was only after God crushed Jesus.
Yes.
And He went through the probationary period. Then He was ready for work. Are you ready for work?
Yeah.
Are you ready for your job assignment? Are you truly ready for your job assignment? Then if you're ready for your job assignment, submit to the crushed. Trust me. It ain't good for flesh.
No.
But it's one thing about it. If you will allow God to crush you, your spirit man will come alive.
Amen.
Like never before. And if you remember, once that the Apostle Paul got everything together, not ashamed of the gospel which I preach. Yes. For it's the power of God unto salvation.
Yes.
You know what? If we be honest, a lot of us are ashamed of the gospel.
Yes.
Of course, do you do more than preach and teach? Do you still believe that if you lay hands on the sick that they will recover? Do you still believe if somebody died prematurely that you could go lay hands on them and God would raise them up?
Yes.
Or do we just stop short as preaching the gospel?
Amen.
Or teaching? I pray tonight that if God have a crush you,
yes,
to me, allow Him to crush you and change your whole life. Change my heart, oh God.
Amen.
May I be like you. I love you. God bless you.
Too.
And you know, always at the end of a message, I say this, I love you with the love of the Lord.
Yes.
I see within each and every one of you the glory of the King. Because see, the thing is, I know we might not be right now what He's called us to be, but it's one thing about it. We shall be like Him.
Amen.
Yes.
We shall be like Him.
Yes.
For we shall
yes,
see Him as He is.
Amen.
Allow God to crush you.
I love you.
Amen.
Amen. That was outstanding, Brother Freddie.
Thank you.
Amen.